Please, won't you turn in your Bible to Luke, the 14th chapter. I'm going to begin reading from verse 12. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? Then Jesus said to the persons who had invited him, "When you host a lunch or a dinner, don't invite your friends, your brothers, and your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you in return, and that will be your reward. Instead, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, crippled, lame, and blind, and you will be blessed because they can't repay you. Instead, you will be repaid when the just are resurrected." When one of the dinner guests heard Jesus' remarks, he said to Jesus, "Happy are those who will feast in God's kingdom." Jesus replied, "A certain man hosted a large dinner and invited many people. When it was time for the dinner to begin, he sent his servant to tell the invited guests, 'Come, the dinner is now ready.' And one by one, they all began to make excuses. The first one told him, 'I bought a farm and must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I bought 5 teams of oxen and I'm going to check on them. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' When he returned, the servant reported these excuses to his master. The master of the house became angry and said to his servant, 'Go quickly into the city streets, the busy ones, the side streets, and bring the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' The servant said, 'Master, your instructions have been followed, and there's still room.' The master said to the servant, 'Go to the highways and the back alleys and urge people to come in so that my house will be filled. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will taste my dinner.'" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? Almighty and everlasting God, help us by your word and your spirit to know you in all of your expressions as Father and Son and Holy Spirit. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Stories open our minds to new ideas and different perspectives with power to spark emotions and inspire change. For centuries, stories have challenged us, and storytellers have helped us make sense of our world. Jesus told stories that literally turned ideas about life, love, and faith upside down and changed the world forever.
Hi, I'm Chris Seen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. I'm really glad that you're here. We can worship together. In your bulletin, you should find a GPS, a Grow, Pray, and Study guide. That's there every week, and it's there to encourage you to have a quiet time. What's great about that is it's portable, and if you're going on vacation, you can take that with you to the cabin or wherever you're going this summer, and you can continue your time in God's Word. I'm just coming back from 2 weeks at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego, and there are 3 battalions of young men that are going through recruit training there. They have to complete 64 days of training, or about 13 weeks, in order to become a United States Marine. And there's one battalion called Support Battalion, and that's where I got assigned when I went out there. And that's for all the young people who, while they're going through training, something happens. They get sick, maybe they get double pneumonia, or they break a leg, and they can't continue their training, so they're pulled out on training day 7 or 56, T7 or T56 or whatever it is, and they can't make progress on their training until they get put back into a training company, so they get put over in training platoon. Now, we as United Methodists, we do not believe in purgatory, but I am changing my views on that because I've actually seen purgatory, and that is the support battalion at Marine Corps Recruit Depot San Diego, where the longest recruit that's been there is 9 months, and you can't leave, you can't go home, You're not making progress on graduating. You're just stuck at Marine Recruit Depot San Diego with three drill instructors that wake you up every morning. And so what I do is I go over and I have a motivational word for the day. We have a Bible study, and then I'll talk to whoever wants to talk. And there's always a long line of people that want to say, I want to get out of here. And I have to say, you can't. The United States Marine Corps and the federal government own you right now. And so unless they discharge you, because one of the young people, he found out he had cancer while he was there, so he'll eventually get discharged and sent home for medical treatment. But for the most part, they have to get healed up, and they're waiting for an opportunity to get back into their training company and complete that. And the reason I bring that up is how important the Word of God becomes when you're going through a crisis. For many of them, whether it's a reawakening of a faith that they had or it's the first time they've seen the value of faith, those Bible studies and worship services are very well attended. And what's important for us to know is that we don't have to be going through the crisis of Marine Corps recruit training to appreciate how the Word of God can help us persevere in the obstacles that we face in our life. Just like those young people are learning that life doesn't always work out the way that it had been planned, the same is true for us. Whether it's getting married, it's raising kids, whatever it is in our jobs, it doesn't always work out the way that we thought that it was going to work out. And the Word of God can really help us with that. So I hope that you're using that GPS and developing a daily quiet time to continue to motivate yourself and continue to help yourself persevere in this thing called life. We're in a new sermon series, and we're looking at the parables of Christ, the unique parables of Christ that changed the world. About 35% of what Jesus said in the Gospels are parables. They're stories that tell us about the kingdom of God, something about the kingdom of God, and they tell us something about human nature. And the text that we're looking at today is no different. The parable of the great feast, the great banquet. These are some of the reddest of the red letters of Christ. We know that these parables were told to us by Christ, so they tell us a lot about the priorities that Jesus had in his ministry, things that he wanted to communicate about the kingdom of God, and challenges that he was making when he was addressing certain flaws in human nature. So the key to understanding this parable is in verse 15, where it says, when one of the dinner guests heard Jesus' remarks, he said, Jesus, happy are those who will feast in God's kingdom. And the reason that's key to understand is because Jesus knew that that man believed that only the Jews were the ones that were being invited and were going to celebrate in God's feast. And Jesus said, hey, I've got a really interesting story to tell you about that. And so he said, you know, there's this man, this is an allegory, the man most Bible scholars believe as representing God, who's throwing this party. And so the invitation goes out to all these people, and the first group of people that are being invited are the Jewish people. But when the servant goes out and it's the day of the party and they've all RSVP'd and they said, yeah, we want to go to this party. When he says, now's the time, show up for the party, what do? They all have excuses. And in the story that Jesus tells, he not only says they have excuses, they have really bad excuses, stupid excuses. I just bought a farm and I need to go look at it. The farm won't be there next week. I just bought a team of oxen. I want to go check them out. You can't check those out a day later? Oh, I just got married. Can't you bring your spouse? They're dumb excuses. And what it tells, Jesus said, is that the owner of the house gets angry at that point. I've taken all this effort to make this invitation available. Of course, he's talking about a plan of salvation. He's talking about reconciling human beings. And the primary group of people that he's trying to work through are saying, I'm too busy. I got other things going on. And so the master says, this is your loss. Go out and invite everybody that they're also invited to my party. And the servant says, we've already done that with the people that are around the area. And he says, go back to the back alleys and urge them. Find the people that never thought they'd ever be invited to my party and urge them. Tell them they're invited too. Fill this place up. Let me start with those excuses. When you read this passage, or when you heard me reading this passage, did you think this parable is a parable about judgment or a parable about grace? Yes. About both. First, this group that gives excuses. Excuses can keep us from doing a lot of things that we ought to do, we can do, we should do. It's just a shortcut to avoiding responsibility or facing our fears. I mean, there's legitimate reasons that we can give for things that we can't do. I am not going to be a Navy SEAL. I'm 57 years old, marginally in shape. It's not going to happen. That's just the truth. But there are other things that we can all respond to, and maybe our priorities are out of whack. I just thought I'd write down some of the excuses that I've heard over the years and kept track of, see if any of these sound familiar. If I didn't have a wife and family, if I had enough pull, if I had money, if I had a good education, if I could get a job, if I had good health, if only I had time, if times were better, if other people understood me, if conditions around me were only different, if I could live my life over again, if I did not fear what they would say, if I had been given a chance, if I now had a chance, if other people didn't have it in for me, if nothing happens to stop me, if I were only younger, if I could only do what I want, if I had been born rich, if I could meet the right people, if I had the talent that some people have, if I dared assert myself, if I only had embraced past opportunities, if people didn't get on my nerves, if I didn't have to keep house and look after the children, if I could save money, if the boss only appreciated me, if I only had somebody to help me, if my family understood me, if I lived in a big city, if I could just get started, if I were only free, if I had the personality of some people, if I weren't so fat, if my talents were known, if I could just get a break, if I could only get out of debt, if I hadn't failed, if I only knew how, if everybody didn't oppose me, if I didn't have so many worries, if I could marry the right person, if I weren't so dumb, if my family were not so extravagant, if I were sure of myself, if luck were not against me, if I had not been born against the wrong star, if it were not true that what is to be will be, if I did not have to work so hard, if I hadn't lost my money, if I lived in a different neighborhood, if I didn't have a past, if I only had a business of my own, if other people would listen to me, if, and that's the greatest excuse of them all. What do you think? Benjamin Franklin said, people who he has found that are good at excuses are typically not good at anything else. It's interesting that Jesus addresses our excuse-making in this parable and ends up the parable in verse 24 by saying, I tell you, not one of those people who made excuses will taste my dinner, the new kingdom to come. It almost is so uncomfortable that it doesn't need further explanation. It's just one of those things. Did you remember that Jesus said something like that? That when the invitation comes, there's one answer that God's looking for. Yes. When an invitation of grace comes, said you're invited to God's party. Notice there's no call to repentance. There's no, hey, you got to shape up, you got to get your act together. There's just say yes. And a whole group of people had other things that they were more interested in doing. They didn't really prioritize this invitation that God was making through Christ. And Jesus said, they're not going to taste this new kingdom. Does that mean missed opportunities here on earth? Does that mean a miss out on eternal life? What do you think it means? What do you think Jesus meant? I think it's meant to be a real sobering moment for all of us when we read that. It's intended to make us very uncomfortable as we face ourselves. Remember, Jesus' parables tell us something about the kingdom of God, and they tell us something about ourselves. So where's the mercy? The mercy is that the invitation goes out to everybody. That God's no respecter of people, of one race over another race, one religion over another religion. It's just an invitation. Enter into my kingdom. Say yes. Isn't that interesting? I remember when I was just getting done with seminary and I'd taken my youth group to Creation Fest, which is kind of like our Sunshine Fest in Minnesota, a big music festival. And it was the first time I heard a speaker called Tony Campolo, who I, over the years, really come to appreciate. He's actually a professor of sociology. He's a very strong Christian man, very, very courageous Christian. I really appreciate the edge that he has on the gospel that he preaches and the truth of it. It's always uncomfortable to listen to Tony, but I always feel like I'm hearing that part of the gospel of Christ that I need to hear. And in Pennsylvania that evening that I listened to him, he was just coming back from California, and this story that he told eventually became a book, and it's called The Kingdom of God is a Party, which sounds kind of flippant at first, but really he's looking at the parables that I'm pointing at right now. The kingdom of God is a banquet in which people are invited, and God's anticipating your yes. And there are consequences to saying no. And we sort of have this idea in our life that, well, if God really loved us, God will just enable us to experience the reward despite the choices that we make. Anybody here in the 12-step world where you hear week after week, people have the right to make the choices that they're going to make and live the life that they're going to live. And other people shouldn't try to enable one or the other. We've been given free will. It's our choice. We see the truth of that. There are consequences and rewards to our choices, and that's all that Christ is saying. Not only in this world, but in the world to come, there are consequences to our choices. You say, what if you never heard about the gospel of Christ? I think Paul addresses that in the second chapter of Romans, that there's a law that's placed on every human being's heart. God will deal with that. God is a gracious God. We don't have to worry about that. We just have to worry about the invitation that we're hearing right now in Christ and what our response is. Campolo was saying that he had just flown out to Honolulu for a Christian conference. He was a speaker there, and he had flown from Philadelphia, where he lives, to Honolulu, and by the time he got there, it was late at night, and his clock was all messed up, and he couldn't sleep, and so finally he just gave up, and he put on his clothes, and he went down on the streets of Honolulu, and he found an all-night diner, and he went in there, and he ordered a cup of coffee and a donut. It's about 2:30 in the morning, and as he's sitting there, this empty diner, all of a sudden, all these women start coming in, and it becomes very apparent these are street prostitutes in Honolulu that are getting off of work, and they're coming in to get some breakfast. And he's feeling really uncomfortable and thinking he needs to take his donut and his cup of coffee and go someplace else. when he overhears one of the women say, "Hey, tomorrow's my birthday." She's not talking to anybody in particular. She says, "Tomorrow's my birthday." And the woman next to her said, "Big deal. What do you want from me?" And the woman said, "I don't want anything from you. I'm just saying tomorrow's my birthday. I've never had a birthday in my life. I'm not expecting anything from you." So it was a sort of awkward silence. And eventually they finished their breakfast and they got up and they left. And Campolo's sitting there. He hadn't left. He's got his half-eaten donut. And he's thinking to himself. And he goes up to the man and behind the counter. He said, "Do you own this place?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, I'd like to do something tomorrow. I'd like to throw a birthday party." The guy looked at him and he said, "Did you hear that woman say it was her birthday?" He said, "Yeah, that's Agnes." And Campolo said, "Do they come in every night?" He said, "They come in every night." And he said, "I'd like to throw a birthday party for her." And so the man shouts in the back, his wife's in the back, and his wife comes up and says, "This guy wants to throw a birthday party for Agnes." And the woman says, "Oh, she's sweet. We should do that. That would be really a nice idea." And Campolo says, "I'll pay for a cake. Can you make a cake?" And the guy says, "Yeah, I can make a birthday cake." And Campolo says, "I'll get some decorations, and then tomorrow night we'll throw a birthday party." The guy said, "That's great." So Campolo shows up about 2:30 the next day, puts up his sign, "Happy Birthday, Agnes," in the back of the restaurant, some of these decorations he's pulled together. And the guy has done a nice job, a big birthday cake, and the word must have gotten out because Campolo said this restaurant was packed with every prostitute in the city of Honolulu is in there. And about 3:00 in the morning, in walks Agnes and one of her friends, and everybody shouts, "Happy birthday, Agnes!" And Campolo said the woman's legs literally buckled underneath her. She was so surprised. And they got her over to a stool, and when she realized that everybody was there for her birthday, and everybody sang happy birthday, and they brought out this beautiful cake with all these candles, she just wept the most innocent tears. And this made the owner of the diner kind of uncomfortable to see her crying, and so he said, "Go ahead, Agnes, cut the cake." And Agnes just kept looking at him. He said, "Go ahead and cut the cake. We'll give cake to everybody." And finally, Agnes said to him, "Is this my cake?" And he goes, "This is your cake." And he said, "Is it okay if I don't cut it, if I just keep it for a while?" And he said, "Well, yeah, Agnes, it's your cake. You can do whatever you want." He said, "Honestly," she said, "I'd like to take it home and show it to my mom." And he said, "Whatever you want, Agnes." So she took the cake and she walked out of the diner. Left everybody behind. And so everybody's standing there quiet, and Campolo said nobody knew what to do, and so he said, "Let's pray." That's what pastors do when they're nervous. They say, "Let's pray." And so he said a prayer for Agnes, and he said a prayer for everybody there. And he was done. The owner of the diner's over there, and he's staring. He clearly hadn't closed his eyes and wasn't praying. He's looking at him. He said, "You didn't tell me you were a preacher." And he said, "What kind of preacher are you?" And he said, "Well, I'm the kind of preacher who wants everybody to know they're invited." And he said, "There's no preacher like that. He's throwing birthday parties for prostitutes." He said, "If there was a church like that, I'd go to that church. You attend a church like that." The invitation is open to everybody. There's a warning in this parable that when the invitation comes out, when God makes God's self vulnerable in Christ, vulnerable to the point of the cross, and said, "I love you, and you're invited to this party," there is one response, one word that God wants to hear from us. Yes. Not an excuse. Yes. Amen.